Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Kuf Hei. We will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Omiyamar Bakiva. Just to quickly review, yesterday in the Mishnah we learned the Machlaikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer, what are the essential parts of the Chalitza process. Rabbi Kiva learned that we have to have the Chalitza, the removing of the shoe. Everything else is non-essential. Rabbi Lezer said both the removal of the shoe, the chalitza, and the rekika are essential parts of the chalitza. Then the Gemara quoted Sholchalei Lavo de Shmuel, that if a chalitza was done with only rekika, there was only the spitting, that woman would no longer be eligible to have yibum. It's not a good chalitza, but she's no longer a candidate for yibum. And the Gemara tried to identify who was the Tana that said that. And the Gemara at the end, this is what we're up to, said it was Rebbe. Because the Gemara said according to Rebbe Kiva, it would not be that way. And if a woman only did Rekika, the Gemara said according to Rebbe Kiva, she's still a candidate for Yibum. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rekiva, Rekika, Vay Pasla, does Rekiva indeed hold that if only Rekika took place, she's not disqualified from having Yibum? But Tanya, the Braisa says the following. Cholza v'loi rakaka v'loi kara. If there was only Chalitza, no Rekika, no Kriya, everybody agrees, says the Braisa, Chalitza sukshera, that that's an acceptable Chalitza. Rakaka v'loi cholza, if there was Rekika and no Chalitza, v'loi Kriya, and no, nor was there any Kriya, Chalitzos psula. So the Braisa says, what is the status of this Chalitza? This Chalitza is not considered a good Chalitza, but as we've always explained, what it accomplishes is that she is no longer a candidate for Yibum. She only has to have a proper Chalitza done. And the Mepharshim and the Rishonim explain, what are the circumstances the Braisa is referring to? Number one, it's referring where this Rekika took place in Bezdin. If a woman just bit at a brother-in-law in the street, that we should consider that a rekika, that to have some value is unacceptable. Moreover, say the Rishonim, that rekika had to be done with the intention, both by the Yavam and Yavama, that it should be a chalitza. So even though it doesn't really do the job, as we're explaining, it has some effect, but if there was no intention at all, then it would be meaningless. And lastly, kara, if there was only kriya, no rekika, no chalitza, and kem besmechish, it's meaningless. Not consider anything happened. Now, Mani, let's try to identify, says the Gemara, who is the Tan of the Braisa. Elaim Rebbe Lezer, if you're going to try to say that it represents the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, ask the Gemara, chalitza v'lai rakaka v'lai kara, chalitza sekshera, can we say that if there was only chalitza, no rekika, and no kriya, that's an acceptable chalitza? V'amar Rebbe Lezer, as we learned in the Mishnah, kachi yasa, the Rebbe Lezer says, since the pasuk says the word kachi yasa, dovashu ma'isa ma'akiv. Wherever there's action involved, those things are essential to the qualification of the chalitza. And therefore, Rebbe Lezer, as we said in our introductory remarks, holds you have to have both chalitza and rekika. So how could the Braisa say that chalitza alone is enough? El Pshita, who must we say is the Tana of the Braisa? Rebbe Kiva. And what does the Braisa say? V'ktana, rakaka v'loi chalitza, if there was rekika and no chalitza, and lo kriya, no kriya either, chalitza sa psula. The chalitza is considered chalitza psula. Now let's drill down and try to understand what does chalitza psula mean. Laman, ilay mila alma, that she may not marry a person who's not a Yava, Pshita. Of course she can't marry anyone. Miyava Chalitza? Did she go through a proper Chalitza? The Ishtaril Alma that she should be allowed to marry anyone else? Elalaf, what is the Braisa saying? La'achim, that she may not marry one of the brothers. That although there wasn't a proper Chalitza, and although she will have to undergo a proper chalitza, it did accomplish that much, the rekika alone, that she cannot marry or have yibum here. Shmami not. So now, we have a new understanding. We have now a new understanding, says the Gemara, different than the way we understood yesterday. Now we are accepting that even though according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rekika is non-essential, if there was Rekika alone, the halacha would be that it would accomplish that she no longer is a candidate for Yibum, she has to have a proper chalitza. Taisus asks, the Rebbe Lezer says that the chalitza and the Rekika are essential, because the Pasuk says the words kocha yo'asa, anything that involves action. So Taisus asks that the Gemara many times in Shas has a manda'oma that says, akima svasov, speaking, have a maisa. So why does Rebbe Lezer say the kriya is not a maisa, and therefore is not essential if we hold akima svasov, have a maisa? Speaking is an action. It's machlokes. So he's asking according to that manda'oma. So Taisus says two terutzim. One Teretz Taisus says, everything is relative. Even if we hold akima svasov, speaking is a maisa, it's certainly less of a maisa than rekika or chalitza. So when we're comparing it to chalitza and rekika, it's not a maisa. Another Teretz Taisus says that when is rekika, when is akima svasov, when is speaking a maisa, when that maisa causes an act, when that speaking causes an act to happen. For example, if on Shabbos we scream at an animal, and because of our screaming at an animal, the animal moves, and it's carrying something, that may be mechamer, because our speaking caused something to happen. But here the speaking doesn't cause anything to happen, everybody will agree that that's not considered a maisa. So to continue the Gemara, and we're going to explain the Gemara, the Ezer Hashem, as the Ritva explains the Gemara. So Rekiva now we're learning, he is holding, that even though Rekika is non-essential, if a Rekika was done, it will accomplish that this woman is no longer a candidate for Yibum. Why? Because Gzeirat Rabbanan. Chazal were concerned that if you'll see, and we'll speak about this more in a moment, that if someone will see that there was only Rekika, they'll make a mistake in believing that a woman who had a Chalitza could still marry a brother-in-law. So ask the Gemara, fine. Again, this is the way the Ritva is explaining the Gemara. By Rekika, we're making a Gzeira. Ask the Gemara, or Rekiva, Maishna Rekika, or Maishna Kriya. Why by Rekika did Chazal choose to make a Gzeira and tell us that if there was Rekika alone, she is disqualified for Yibum? Why didn't they make the same Gzeira that if there was only Kriya, the woman should also be disqualified from Yibum? Answers the Gemara. Kriya, the Issa Bein B'Tchila Bein B'Soif, Lemichlef Alei. Kriya, as we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem, in the tomorrow shir, takes place twice. At the beginning, the woman has to say Parsha from the Torah twice. So if somebody sees a woman doing Kriya, they're going to recognize that this isn't a complete Chalitza. And if they see that she only did Kriya once, they're not going to make a mistake of believing that she's considered a Chalutza and could still marry one of the brother-in-laws. However, Rekika only takes place once. If somebody sees a woman doing Rekika, they won't know what happened prior to that, and they'll make a mistake to believe that this woman went through a complete chalitza. And if we're going to allow her still to marry one of the brother-in-laws, people will make the error to believe that a woman who had chalitza is allowed to marry a brother-in-law. That's why Rabbi Akiva agrees that Chazal made a gzeira that if a woman only had Rekika, she no longer is a candidate for Yibam. Rekika, the betchila leisul b'soif isa, michlef alei, people can make this error, v'asra l'mishol chalutz l'achem. Ikedamri, hokushok alei. Another version of what was sent to Shmuel, Ravu de Shmuel, yivam ha-shirakaka, tachloitz, a woman that did Rekika should do chalitza, v'ein tzricha lor pamacheres. She doesn't have to do Rekika again. Kihida asla kamei de Rav Ami. There was a woman that came to Rav Ami. Have yosir Rav Abba b'mamu kamei. Rav Abba b'mamu was sitting there. Rok kamem kamei de tachlitz. And she did it out of the right sequence. The right sequence, as we've been discussing, is first doing chalitza and then Rekika. She did the Rekika before the chalitza. Omalei Rav Ami, chalotzla, do chalitza, v'shar le'tigra. And that's all you have to do. The Rekika she did, even though it was done out of order, is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Av, Vabina Meirik. She has to do a kick after the chalitza. Why are you just accepting the chalitza? So he responded, Harakakala. She did rekika already. So he says to her, the teruk mabekach, the rekika that was done out of order. So let's repeat the rekika, that we should do it properly after the chalitza. So in other words, the question was, it's now a big deal to do rekika twice. So why don't we ask her to repeat the rekika in the proper time? So he answers, nafik minei charba. By asking her to do the rekika another time, sometimes being too frum could cause a problem. What's the problem? The amri tehed v'tarik, if we're going to tell her to repeat the rekika, amri, people are going to make the error of believing rekika kamaisa lespa mishasha. That if rekika was done before chalitza, it's meaningless. V'asal mishu chamut zolachim. And they come to allow her that if there was only rekika, and then they change their mind and want to do yibum, that should be acceptable. But we're learning that that's not true. Because we're learning once rekika is done, she no longer can ever marry a yavam. That's why it's important not to repeat the rekika. Ask the Gemara for being considered, but doesn't, and this is the way the Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara, doesn't the Pasuk use the word of kacha, which seems to indicate that the proper order is essential? So why are we saying that if the rekika is done before the chalitza, it's acceptable? Answers the Gemara, considering lo ma'akva. The proper sequence is not essential. Who sover? So he thought the chuy kamatchle. They were just telling him, but it wasn't really true what he was saying. However, nofak dak for ashkach, the tanya, he found the braisa that clearly teaches us, ben shehigdem chalitza l'rekika, ben shehigdem rekika l'chalitza, and makes no difference which came first and which came second. Masha osui, it's an acceptable chalitza. Says the Gemara. And the Yerushalmi gives a little background to the episode the Gemara now teaches us. The Yerushalmi says there was a city that was looking for a rabbi. And they were told there was a rabbi, his name was Levi, who's an excellent candidate. So they accepted him as their rav. He comes to the city and they wanted to show great honor. They built a big platform. And he, the new rabbi, is coming to town. And now they want to show off what a big Talmud Chacham they got. So they were going to ask him questions. And as the Mefarshim explained, we're all human, so it got to Levi's head that look at all this honor, look at all this covet. So when they asked him these questions, he wasn't able to answer. Says the Gemara, Levi nofik l'karyosai. Levi came to the city, new rabbi in town, and by Minei, they asked him the following question. The first question they asked him was, Gidmas Mashatachlitz, a woman who Nebuch doesn't have any hands. Can she do chalitza with her teeth? He couldn't answer. Yivama shurakaka dam. If the woman spit, but she spit out blood, is it acceptable chalitza mahu? Again, can't answer. So as Mefarshim explained, they thought maybe he's not an expert in halacha, but he's an expert in agoda. So we'll ask him an agoda shaila. The pasuk says in Daniel, Avo agad l'chayas aroshim ksav emes. He saw this document, and it says that it was a true document. Mechlal diksiv, ik iksav she'en emes. Is there a document from Shemayim which is not true? Again, lehava b'yodei. He stumped again. He couldn't answer any of the questions for the reason that we gave. Also, shalvei medrasha. But he was at least modest enough that if a shayla is asked and he can't answer, he goes to the yeshiva task. Amalei, so they responded, Miksiv v'chotz b'yad. Does the Torah say that the hand has to be used to do the chalitza? The Torah says v'chotza. So if she doesn't have hands, she could use her teeth. And as Tosfos explains, quotes a Yerushalmi, certainly if a woman, Baruch Hashem, has hands, she should use the right hand. But if she doesn't have hands, she could even use her teeth. Miksiv v'yorkeroik. Does the Torah say she has to expel saliva? Even if she expels blood, it's acceptable. And agalcha haroshim b'ksav emes v'chiyesh ksav she'en emes. Is there a document from Shemayim which is not true? So tomorrow, like kasha, kam b'gzadin sheyesh my shvua. A gzadin that has with it a shvua is permanent. The kamik zadin she'enim ha'shvua, it's emes, kamik zadin she'enim ha'shvua is not permanent. Could Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Damar Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Amar Rav Yonason, Menayin l'gzadin she'eshim ha'shvua, she'enim iskara, this type of gzadin will never be torn up. She'nem el'chein l'shbati l'beis eili, im iskaper avoyim beis eili b'zevach u'meminchar oylam. We know that the children of Eli were did averus. What were the averus? The Gemara in Sechta Sanhedrin explains two averus. One avera was that the halach is that a kohen is not allowed to eat from the carbon until the emerin are burnt. They didn't wait. That was one avera. And the second avera was that the pasuk says yishkvun anoshim. They had relations with women, but the Gemara in Sechta Sanhedrin explains that women would bring their carbon later. When a woman has a child, she has to bring a carbon. They would delay bringing those carbonos, and therefore the wives could not go back home to have relations with their husband. And the pasuk considers it if they had relations with them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a message with Shmuel, that he makes a shvua. Im iskaper avoyim beis eli, their aveiru will never be forgiven, b'zevach u'b'minchat oylem, forever. So we see there's a gzar din, this is the way the Aruch Haner explains the Gemara, that remains permanent. Amar Rabba, b'zevach u'b'mincha einim iskaper, kabonos can't take away this avera, av miskaper hu b'divrei Torah. Divrei Torah have the ability to take away this avera. And if somebody who has learns Torah can have kapora. And the Gemara explains, Abai Amar, Abai explains differently, b'zevach u'miskaper, av miskaper gemilas chasodim. And the way most mafarshim explain, Abaye says, it's not enough just Torah, you also have to have gemilas chasodim. Says the Gemara, Rav and Abaye mid beis Eli kosu. Since Rav and Abaye both came from beis Eli, they were subject to this terrible decree, as we're going to learn in a moment, that they should die young. Rav had osk b'Torah, Rav learned Torah, chaya arben shnin, lived for 40 years. Abaye the osk b'Torah b'gemilas chasodim, he learned Torah and also did Gemilas Chesed, Chai Shitit Nishnin. He was able to overcome the decree and live for 60 years. So there are a number of issues to discuss here. One is, what is the power of Torah that the Gemara says here that Torah could give a person long life? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat I saw from the Shem Shmuel, that is the power of Torah, that somebody who learns Torah is a different person. And therefore, even if he's subject to such a terrible decree, he will live longer. The Al-Sheikh explains, the Pasuk says, he says a beautiful pshat, the Pasuk says, Im loy santi chukas shemayim v'oretz, chukas shemayim v'lai loy santi. Says the Al-Sheikh, pshat in the Pasuk is, that the world, the shemayim v'oretz, have an existence because of Torah. He says, therefore, somebody who learns Torah makes the world exist. And what is his reward? That he will exist and have Arichas Yomim. And he says that's exactly what we say every day, three times a day. The Pasuk says in Krishma, V'lmaratim osam es b'neichem, we should learn Torah. And what's the schar? L'man yivu yumeichem kimei hashamayim ala oretz. We cause the shemayim va'oretz to have an existence, and therefore l'man yivu yumeichem, you who learn Torah and bring an existence to the world, will have Arichas Yomim. Why did he get from 18 to 40? This is a very nice pshat. There are 22 letters in the alabase. So since he learned Torah, which are written with the 22 letters of the alabase, therefore he got 22 years extra. Abaya, the Gemara says, spent another, also the Gemilas Chesed, so he got another 20 years up to 60. So the Chafetz Chaim has a very interesting piece of Torah on this Gemara. He says, we need to understand Abaya. He says, if we're referring to Gemilas Chesed that no one else can do, so then why didn't Rava do this Chesed? Only Abaya doing Chesed. If, on the other hand, we're referring to Chesed that someone else could do, the Halach is, asked the Chafetz Chaim, that if someone's learning Torah, so if there's someone else to do the Chesed, somebody else should do it. If there's no one else to do it, then he doesn't have to do it. So why... what's the chesed that Abaye did that Rava didn't do? Says the Chofetz Chaim, halacha l'maisa. Interesting, fascinating. He says, the chesed Abaye did was chesed someone else could have done. And therefore Rava thought, if someone else can do it, he shouldn't be Mevatel Torah to do the chesed. Abaya, however, realized that sometimes, even though there's someone else to do the chesed, it's proper that the Gol Hadar should do it. For a number of reasons. First of all, if a Gol Hadar comes to ask for tzedakah, he gets a different reception than if another person asks. Furthermore, if everybody sees Abaya doing chesed, what a powerful lesson it will be for all of us that we should do chesed. Therefore, Abaya and Rava had a fundamental disagreement. If someone else can do it, does it still belong to the Gedolei Hadar to do chesed? Abaya felt it does, Rava felt it didn't. And therefore, Abaya had Arichas Yomim more than Rava. Another pshat that I saw, also beautiful pshat, is that Abaya was able to combine chesed and Torah. We have many times in Shas that Rabbi Yosef forgot his learning, and who's the person that's trying to work with him? Abaya. So it's Torah, chesed. He's learning Torah, while, and he's doing chesed at the same time, this person who never forgot his learning. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achas Hayis Bishlaim. There was a family in Shlaim, Shai Mason Kaben Esrei Shmon Esrei Shona. They all died at 18. Above it is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they notified Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what a terrible thing that this family is dying young. Omam Shem Mishpachas Eliatem. Maybe you come from the family of Eli, Shnei Mekom Marbis Beisecha Yimusa Noshim. As the Pasuk says, this terrible decree, they'll all die young. L'chu V'isku B'Torah. Learn Torah V'tichyu. Halchu v'osk b'Torah, began to learn v'chayu, and they tackle lived longer. V'yikarnas mishpachas yoichran al shemay. So Mepharshim asked why 18 is the age. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is we know that 20 is the age when a person starts getting unshim. So if people from the family of Eli were to die at 20, they wouldn't attribute it to that klala. They would say the person did aveiros, so he got punished. So they had to take him away earlier at 18. Another pshat that I saw. We said earlier, what was the aveira of the Beis Eli? That they prevented women from having relations with their husband. When is the age a person supposed to get married? Ben Yud Ches L'Chuppah. Supposed to get married at 18. So to show that they were getting punished for that aveira, the aveira is at 18. Mepharshim asked, we just finished learning that the way to have Arichas Yomim is through Torah and Gemilas Chesed. So what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai only recommend to them to learn? Why don't you tell them to do chesed also? So one teretz I saw, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew these people. And he knew these people were people that learned. He only saw that they didn't do chesed, and that's why he told them to do chesed, learn Torah, he didn't have to worry about chesed, they did chesed anyway. Another pshat that I saw, a beautiful pshat. He knew that if they learn Torah, if somebody learns Torah and he learns it properly, he knows that he has to do chesed. So if you start learning, you'll also start doing chesed. The Mepharshim asks, the Masha asks, what about Avodah? We know that it says in Pirkei Avos that the world stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, V'Gemilas Chesedim. So why did the Pasuk, why does the Gemara say that Torah and Gemilas Chesed can add years? Why doesn't the Pasuk say that, why doesn't the Gemara say that Avodah can add years? So I saw two answers to that question also. One answer is that the Aveira came about through Avodah, because the Bnei Eli did not do the Avodah properly. So Enka Tega Nasa Saneger, you can't have Avodah fix the problem. Another answer that I saw is Torah and Gemilas Chesed are called Emes. Avodah is not called Emes. Only something which is called Emes, Torah and Gemilas Chesed, can add years, not Avodah. Amar Shmuel bar Unya Amar Rav. Menayel Gzadin shel Tzibah she'en nechtam. That a Gzadin HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives on the Tzibah is not sealed. Ask the Gemara, Ein Nechtem, is that true that it's not sealed? V'ksiv kim tachaf sviv neser, if you'll rub with detergent, v'tavelach buris, and you'll have soap, Nechtem avoynaich lefonai. Ela, menayin, what he means to ask, is a shefila Nechtem niskari, that even if it's already sealed, it could be torn up, shnema mika Hashem alkenem b'kol kareinu eilov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to us, and we'll rip up what we ask. Ask the Gemara, v'ksiv, Dirsh Hashem Matzu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not always available to tear up, so to speak, the Gzar Din. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Haba Yochid, Haba Tzibur. A Tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always available to tear up the Gzar Din. A Yochid, not always. Yochid Amos, when is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available to tear up the Gzar Din of a Yochid? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Eilu Sar Yom Shabem Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. During a Seir Shimei Tshuva, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to tear up the Gzar Din. What makes the Seres Yimei Tshuva special? Two pshatim. One pshat is, because Adam HaRishon, when he did the Aveira Ve'etz Adas, he did Tshuva during the Seres Yimei Tshuva. Well, that's all part of the Yom Naram, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillahs and is ready to tear up even if there's any gzar din against us. The Farshim say, Yochad Amos. Amos stands for, as we say in the Sana Tarkov, Im Yoshev Mikad Miyat Tekabloi. During the Seres Yimei Tshuva, if a person does Tshuva, Miyat Tekabloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillahs. And this Gemara is actually the basis for a very famous Mechloikis between the Ratvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. There's a question like this that was asked. Somebody's Nebuch in jail, and he could get a furlough. So should he take the furlough immediately? Or the Yom HaNarom are coming, so perhaps he should ask for that day, and he could daven Yom HaNarom in shul. The Chacham Tzvi says he should take it immediately. The Ratva says, since our Gemara just taught us how great the Seres Yimei Tshuva is, he should take it during those days. The Paiskim do say that even the Ratvaz would agree that let's say we're middle of the winter, the Yom Narom is 6 months away, and then he's going to say, I'll wait for 6 months, that he shouldn't do, because who knows what's going to happen in 6 months. We're talking that it's not that far off. Continues the Gemara. Sholchalei Avudah Shmuel. Yivamash Roka Kadam. If Yivamah spits out saliva, tachlitz. That's considered acceptable chalitza. There has to be some saliva mixed into that dam. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, is that indeed true? The halacha is, the saliva of a zav is avatuma. Says the Brice, yochiye dam, hayoitz mi pivim piya oma. If blood comes out of the mouth of a zav, it's avatuma. Tamloim is zoiva tame, vein dam hayoitz mi pivim piya oma tame. But if we're learning now, ask the Gemara, that all dam that comes out of the mouth has in its saliva, so why is the dam that comes out of the mouth of a zov not an avatoma? Elator answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kamba mitzetzes, kamba shoises. It depends if the dam, if there's a wound and the blood is just spilling out, or somebody sucked and spilled out. If somebody sucked and spit out, there's certainly going to be saliva mixed in. If it's just a wound that's gushing blood, there is no saliva mixed in. The case that we're referring to, where the yevama spit out, expelled dam, there was first shisis, she sucked and then expelled, and that's why there's saliva in it. Ask the Rishon of the Mordechai, Tosfos Rid, ask, why doesn't the saliva become bottle in the dam? So even if there's saliva in the dam, it should become bottle. So Tosfos Rid answers, it's two very fundamental answers. Tosfos Rid says, we only say bittel when this item that we're discussing has a shear. Since there's no shear, how much saliva we have to have, hilchos bittel don't apply. Mordechai says another answer. He says, we only could say bittel when we had two items that were separate and then got mixed up. So then we could say bittel under whatever the halachas are. Here, this saliva and blood were never separate. They were always mixed together, and therefore hilchos bittel are not applicable. We learned in the Mishnah, cheret shenechlatz, or if a cotton does chalitza, it's unacceptable. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, zu divrei Remei. It's unacceptable, she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. Says the Gemara, this reflects the opinion of Remeia. We go back to Gemara that we learned on Daf Tzadik Vav, Machlokes Remei and the Chachamim. According to Remei, the chalitza of a cotton does accomplish this much, that this woman will no longer be a candidate for Yibam. The Chacham hold the chalitza of a cotton is meaningless, and therefore she's still a candidate even for Yibam. Then we saw Ketana Shecholtza. So the Mishnah said if a Ketana had chalitza, it's meaningless. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Zudivir Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. Doma, Ish Kosov Parsha. The Torah says an Ish, and it has to be a man. Makshinan Ish Al Ish. So just like a woman, just like a man has to be an adult, so too must the woman be an adult. Avachamayimrim ish k'sivaparsha. By an ish, it says an adult. However, an isha ben gedoyla ben ketana makes no difference if she's adult or a minor. Her chalitza is an effective chalitza. So I sort of mafarshim explain what's the basis of Rameya and the chachamim, the machlokes. Mafarshim explain very nicely. The chachamim hold we can never completely compare a man to a woman, because we start with a very fundamental difference. A woman is bas mitzvah by 12. A man is bar mitzvah by 13. So since they're never perfectly the same, so therefore we don't make a hekesh. Remei, on the other hand, holds, even though it's never going to be exactly the same, that doesn't prevent us from making a hekesh as much as we can. It says the Gemara, chachamim, who are the chachamim that don't differentiate by a woman and say her chalitza is kosher, whether she's a gedolah or ktana? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, it reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon bar Rebbe have a yasvi. They were sitting together. Pasachad menai v'omar. One of them began to say, Hamaspawel, the one that's davening, Tzor shiitet einav lamata, shenemar, v'ein einav ilibi sham kol hayom. So first we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explains it. Rashi in the Masha. When a person davens, he has to face towards Eretz Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shlomo, HaMelech, after he built the Beis HaMikdash, V'ayinei V'libi Shem Kol HaYomim. That's the place of the Shechina. V'chad Omer, Einav L'mala. Shenem Nesol V'vein Al Kepayim. We're after the Churban. There's no Beis HaMikdash. We should think to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad Hochi Osir V'shmol Bar Yosef L'gabayu. V'shmol Bar Yosef came. Omu B'mai Siktu. So he asked him, what are you talking about? Amla b'tfila, we're talking about Hilchos Tfila. Amla kach amma abba, this is what my father taught me. Hamispal, it's a combination. Tzor shiitin enav lamata, v'liba lamala, his eyes downwards and then upwards. Kadei shi iskaimu, shtem across halalu, we should have both psukim. So pasha pshat, this is the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to learn, quotes Darizal, most of davening a person should daven out of a siddur, Shmanesri should daven with his eyes closed. Although the Kaf HaChaim, that's how he quotes the Arizal, although the Kaf HaChaim says that's for the Arizal, we should daven from a siddur even Shmoneh Esrei. The Shem Tzion Balocha, I saw, says, what the Gemara means to say, that a shul should have windows. So we could look at the windows and remember Hashem, but he also goes on to say, we should do a combination. Shmoneh Esrei, we should daven Einov Lamata, by Kedusha, we lift ourselves up, that's Lamala. But then I saw a pidrush, some very nice pshatim. One pshat is, Einav Lamata, a person when he davens, when he thinks about himself, he should think Lamata, how little we are, how small we are, V'libay Lamala, and think about how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But, continue the Mefarshim to say, when a person's davening and thinks that way, and think how little he is, he may come to say, so how could I talk to Hashem? I'm nothing. So you should remember V'libay, the heart that we all have, the neshama we have, is lamala. Alakai neshama shnasatabi. It's a cheluk alakai mamal. We shouldn't be so quick to make ourselves so little and not believe that we could do what's right and talk to Hashem. Another pshat that I saw, very interesting pshat, is when we daven, there are two parts to tefillah. There should be two parts to that tefillah. There's davening for gashmias. We all need panasa and gezunt. And what all we need for Gashmias, we also need Ruchnias. Hamispal Tzar Shita Einov Lamata. Einov, his own personal needs, Lamata. They should be less priority. For Liboy, the issues that reflect Ruchnias, Lamala, they should take the priority. But again, say the Mefarshim, not to mean that we shouldn't damn for Gashmias, because our Gashmias helps us have Ruchnias. If a person is healthy, he could come to learn. If a person has panasa, he has a clear mind that he should learn and do mitzvahs. Says the Gemara Vayta. Ad hachi asi Rebbe l'masifta. Rebbe came to the yeshiva to deliver a shiur. Inu to have a klali, the talmidim who were in the yeshiva were light. Yasav d'chtayu, they all sat down on the floor. The talmidim used to sit on couch, on cushions on the floor. Rav Shmuel bar Yosi agav yukrei. Rav Shmuel bar Yosi was a heavier individual. Have a miss of a ozel. He walked slowly, and he was walking towards the front of the Beis Medrash because he wanted to hear the shir. Omle Avdon, and as Tosfos says, Avdon is Abba Yudin, but his nickname was Avdon. Mizeh shemafsi al roshi am kodesh. Who's this person that's walking? Because it looks, if everybody's sitting on the floor, and somebody's walking through, it looks like he's stepping on their head. And the Gemara says, Masech the Sanhedrin, the Pasuk says, Loisalu b'malois al-mizbechi, eila mishpatim, the person should be careful not to walk that way in a yeshiva, it's not derech eretz. Amalei, ani yishmol b'Rabbi Yosi, It's I Yishmover B'Yosi Shabasi Lumatam Rebbe. I'm doing it because I came to learn Torah. Amalei v'chi ato hogun luma Torah. Are you worthy of learning Torah mirebi? Amalei v'chi Moshe hayo logun Torah mipi gvura. So the way the Aruch HaNer explains the Gemara, he was saying to him, you're not acting with humility by walking this way. Rebbe was the paradigm of anava, of humility. So how could you come to learn Torah? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was also the great anav, how did he come to learn Torah from Hashem? Amalei v'chi Moshe ata. Are you Moshe Rabbeinu that you're comparing yourself to him? Amalei v'chi Rabach Elokim hu. Is your Rebbe Hashem? Amalei Rav Yosef. Shekli Rebbe li mitrifasei. Rebbe got his own punishment. The kamlei Rabach v'lei Rebbe. He didn't call him his own Rebbe. He called him Avdon's Rebbe. And as the Meraim Sada says, he didn't really mean Chas v'Shalom to speak disparagingly of Rebbe. But it came out by itself. Adahachi osi yavam l'kamei. While they're having this conversation, Yavama comes. Kamei the Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe l'Avdon. So Rebbe tells Avdon, Puk Botka. Go examine if she's a Gedola. Going back to our Shaila. The boss of the Nafak, Amalei Rebbe Shmuel. Rebbe Shmuel tells Rebbe, Kach Amma Abba. My father Rebbe Yossi said, Ish Kosu B'Parsha. By a man, the Torah requires an adult. Aval Isha, but by a woman, Bein B'Gedola, Bank Tana. It makes no difference if she's an adult or a minor, she could do chalitza. Amalei ta. So Rebbe tells Avdon, come back. Lotrichis, there's no need to investigate, examine the woman. Kfar hai rezakin. Kamifsa Avdon va'asi. So now Avdon did what Rav Shmuel bar Yossi did. He was walking amongst the Tamidim and looked like he was walking on their heads. Amalei Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, Mi shetzarch lei am kadosh. A person that needs to rely on other people. You don't even know the halacha. You didn't know the halacha about examining the woman. Yivsal, Mi shetzarch lei am kadosh. I, who was needed to say this halacha, I have a right to yivsal rosh am kadosh. Have a Mi shetzarch lei am kadosh. You have nothing to contribute. Hech yivsal rosh am kadosh. You have no right to walk this way. Amalei Rebbe l'Avdom. Stand in your place. You really have no right to walk the way. Only Rav Shmuel, who had something to contribute, has a right to walk through the Talmidim that way. You do not. Says the Gemara, Tana ba'osu shor netzara Avdon. At that time, three terrible punishments came to Avdon. He became a Metzora. Why did he become a Metzora? Says the Aruch HaNer. Because the Aloch is a choysh b'ksheirim loike b'gufa. He accused Rabbi Shmuel of acting improperly, and Alokha is like Begufa, he gets punished himself. That's what became a tzara. The Tavash Shei Bonof, again says the Aruch HaNer. The Alokha is that somebody who doesn't treat Talmid HaChamim with the proper respect ends up somebody who treats Talmid HaChamim with the proper respect have children with Talmid HaChamim, and vice versa. If you don't have the proper respect, then you won't have children. Umiyanu Shtei Kenoisof. And if his two daughters did miyun, and as the Aruch HaNer goes on, he didn't know the halacha of people about women requiring bedika. The halacha is that although a yevama doesn't require examination, a girl who's doing miyun does require examination. So the midah k'negah midah was, since he didn't know this halacha, he had to have children that underwent the bedika. Because he did bedika on that yevama that she shouldn't really have to undergo. There's a Mari de Gevart from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim asks why, when Avdon spoke to Rav Shmuel bar Yossi right away and gave him musa for walking that way, nothing happened to him. Only after he walked that way did he get punished. Says the Chafetz Chaim like this. He says, sometimes a person has a right to say musar. And therefore, he's saying musar. If he sees somebody doing something wrong, he says musar and it's no problem. He says, however, if a person is saying musar, he has to be himself on a madrega. He says, what happened here? Avdon is telling Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi, why are you walking this way? It's a fair comment. It isn't appropriate to walk that way, as we said earlier, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says. And therefore, there's no einish. But now Avdon does it himself. So how are you giving Musr when you're making the same mistake? That's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu really can't accept, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punished them then. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Brich Rechmana, the Kafsan L'Avdin ba'ay Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be benched, blessed, that Avdin got his punishment in this world. But the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz makes a very important point. The Gemara, he says, should have said, Brich Rechmana, the Anshe L'Avdin, that he punished Avdin. He doesn't say the Anshe, it says the Kasve, that he embarrassed him. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the purpose of a punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish us, not that he wants to see us in pain. He wants to see us recognize, be ashamed of what we did. Brich Rechmana, the Kasve L'Avdin, that he brought Avdin to recognize that he acted inappropriately. Amar of Ami, B'dvarav Shabarebi Nilmet, from here we can learn, Ktana chaletzis, a ktana could do chalitza b'pu'utas. Pu'utas means when she's 6-7 years old. What halacha is, the Gemara says in Masechta Baba Basra, that she's old enough to start affecting transactions. Rava match the gil onus nadorim, which is 11 years old. Where there the halacha is that even though she's not bas mitzvah, her nadorim may be effective. But the halacha is, achatavi shtei saris, she should wait till she brings shtei saris. Chotz v'shnayim, if she did chalitza with two dayonim, it's unacceptable. Amar Rav Yosef ben Minyoni, Amar Rav Nachman, these tanoim said it's acceptable. However, Amar Rav Yosef ben Minyoni, Amar Rav Nachman, ein halacha kaisazug. The halacha is not like that pair. The halacha is you need three dayonim. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman chadazimna, he already taught us the once. Amar Rav Yosef ben Minyoni, Amar Rav Nachman, chalitza b'shloisha, we have to have three dayonim. Why is he teaching us the same halacha twice? Answers the Gemara tzrichi. Dit mehach kamisa, if we only had the first time, have a mina, hani mili l'chatchila. L'chatchila, we should have three dayonim. Ava di'evit, but di'evit afil trei, even two dayonim are acceptable. K'mash b'lon, ein alach kais zog, and even b'di'evit two dayonim aren't acceptable. V'yesh mina ein alach kais zog, if we said that way, we think el ketanakama, hani mili di'evit. Ava l'chatchila l'boyu chamisha, as we learned in the first Mishnah of this parak, there's a tana that says we have to have five dayonim for chalitza. That's why tzricha, to teach us, as Taisus explains, we need to have three dayonim. So the halacha is, we need to have three dayonim. But the minig, just to tell you the minig, is that we have three dayonim. Then we do have two more dayonim sitting on the side. And we also have two edim for every chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Ma'aseh shechaltzu. The Mishnah quoted a story where chalitza was done in a prison. Ask the Gemara, Beino l'beino mi yodana. The chalitza was done just between the Yavim and the Yavama. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that this took place? Ari Yudah Mishmul, the Edom Roim Ma'aseh B'chutz. There were Edom that saw them doing the chalitza. Otherwise, they themselves cannot say it. Rishonim give two reasons. One reason, it's the Dover Shebe'erva, and the halacha is, Ein Dover Shebe'erva, Pachs Mishnayim, you always need two witnesses. Another reason is, you can't believe them because they may have motives to say that they did it when it didn't happen. Ibrahim, ask the Gemara a question. Avroi, did they do it outside, not in prison? And the question came to Rekiva when he was in prison. Or that the chalitza took place in prison. And as Taisus explains, everybody agrees that Rekiva was in prison when he was presented with this question if a chalitza done just between the Yavam and Yavama is acceptable. The question was, where were the Yavam and the Yavama? Amri Huda Merav, the Beis HaSurin HaYamaisa, the chalitza took place in a prison, or Ula Beis HaSurin BaMaisa, and the question came to Rekiva while he was in prison. In fact, Taisus quotes a Yerushalmi, interesting Yerushalmi. He says, Rekiva we know was put into prison for teaching Torah. And now they had this question, if a chalitza done by Yavam Yavama with no one else there, is it acceptable? So Rabbi Yochanan Samuel needed to know the answer. He walked by the prison, and he disguised himself as a peddler who's selling needles, machten. And he asked, walking by Rabbi Kiva's cell, I have machten to sell, and what is the halacha about a chalitza that's done beino lebeino? And Rabbi Kiva responded, says the Yerushalmi, what kind of needles do you have? And the chalitza is kosher.